And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 247. I'm Silas Sindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. We are back today. We're black today. We are, we had a week off and we're back to chat a lot today about improv and theater.
And makeup.
And
skin routines. What? Makeup and skin routines.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say a very effeminate episode, but I think it's coming to terms with skincare is not just a feminine thing.
It's sharing the most luscious part of your body today. You were talking about that and how you couldn't stop touching it.
My face. What?
I was going to leave a cliffhanger so people would have to listen to hear if it was.
I want to make sure some people continue listening. They don't want to hear about Silas.
Not everybody knows me that well, I suppose, if they haven't been listening to all of our 200. Well, I haven't been here all 200, but however many episodes I've been. But I would not be saying something like that.
Possibly.
That just,
we'll see. I corrupt people. Who knows? Well, anyway, we get into that. An obvious longing and desire to be involved in theater is brought up. So we discuss theater and improv and such.
And we do. I'm just thinking, should we cut that out? We're going to leave it.
What? Why would I ever cut?
I was cutting. Feeling like it was a fun joke. And now I'm like, oh, was that too? Was it too?
No. Rich? Is that too risky?
Too risque?
That's very you to be concerned about the risqueness.
Yes. It's not.
We need more risque.
I need pearls. I could start.
Do you just want pearls?
I would. I would love some pearls. I would love some pearls for pearls.
Okay.
No, I have pearls already.
Of course you do. Oh, I don't. Do men wear pearl necklaces?
Don't they?
Do men wear pearls? Is that a very... men wear gold and silver? Do they wear...
I don't have...
pearls?
I'm sure probably someplace in the world men wear pearls. Ooh, mother of pearl. You could wear a mother of pearl. It'd be a little bit less fancy.
Isn't that a food?
No. Well, no. I wonder if it's just called that too. It could be a drink.
A mother of pearl?
Yeah.
That's a jewel?
It's a thing. Yeah, let's look it up.
It's not a food?
Maybe it's both. We haven't talked about food yet, so that's good. We got food.
Maybe. Oh, good. Finally.
No, but I don't really wear.
I'm going to look that. I will look this up after the show because I swore I thought mother of pearl was a food. I'm like, what have I been eating? I don't even know. There's a comic with named Douglas Gale locally. I will say is one of his funniest jokes to me. I'm going to repeat it here because he doesn't do stand up much anymore. But this is Douglas Gale's joke. But he would say, I just discovered that arugula is not a cheese, you know? And I'm like, I always think that's so funny because I think it sounds like a cheese, right? Arugula.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I always love that.
And I just imagine somebody grating arugula because they thought it was a cheese, which is absurd.
Creating it?
Grating it.
Sorry. With some grated. I think that's the point. If you said this has grated arugula on it, I would not doubt you. I would just assume that it really did.
How often are you grating a leafy green?
Right. So I would think it was a cheese. Sliced arugula. Anyway, a fun episode. Anytime with Samantha is a fun time. I've read that.
Silas?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah.
We have fun. We have lots of fun here on Black
and Half. That's right.
And wait till we find out what the other half is at the end of the episode, right, Silas?
That's right. All right. Open your hearts, open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 247.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half. Hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund.
I'm having, say, a day. I had to go stage. house. And on my way there, I got a call from the painter, a guy, the painter who has a guy there. Because the guy who you talk to is never the guy that's doing it. They can't get in the house that they've been getting into for the last 3 days because the key won't work because it's got a like a keypad. Oh. And I'm like, well, he's doing it wrong. I haven't been there. It's not like I changed the code, right? These keypads, some of them are so finicky. You know, you press it and like it double does a number if you press too long. And then it wouldn't. And, you know, they all like if you try it wrong for like 3 or 5 times, they shut down.
Yeah.
For, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. So you have to wait. And it was like an hour and a half later that I got there and they still hadn't gotten in.
Oh, man.
And so I tried and I did it wrong the first time because it went too fast. I'm like, that's delicate. Had to wait. And I'm calling someone trying to like shoot because my override key wasn't working. The physical key. It was like, this is not the right key. They gave me the wrong key. And then eventually it was back to clear. And so I did it and it opened up. And then the painter still acted like I did something wrong. And I'm like, dude, you've been here an hour and a half. I'm sorry that you kept doing this wrong. This wasn't me. And it was like, why can people just take ownership and be like, oh, my bad. I screwed up.
I'm sorry. That is a day.
It's like, a day.
It is a day.
And these tenants, whoever lived there, I was like, I don't know if they changed the lock. This key does not work. It does not turn this lock. I don't know what to tell people. I'm like, well, are you sure? No, I called you. I'm standing outside of this condo because I am unsure if I know how to turn a key.
I know it's like a reflexive. I don't know. I do that sometimes, right? Like the reflexive. I don't know if I really do that so much. Are you sure? I've probably done it sometimes. Not for this situation.
The amount. Here's just the thing. Actually, last night there was something that made me think of this, but I was like, do you know how many homes I have opened in 10 years of tours? It's not user error. If I can't do it.
Yeah.
I didn't just call you because I'm like, it won't work. Suddenly. No, I have tried things. I've walked around the house to see if I could get the window open in case of which I did. I was like, turns out those, you know, like when you have a sliding glass door and you put like a bar in between so they can't open. I was like, I don't know if that actually works. And I was trying and I couldn't get it open. So I'm like, well, like I said, these low key security devices really.
Yeah, I figured it
works. Low tech works.
Unless if they're going to smash the window, but then you probably hear it.
And then I was like, thank God finally the code worked because I was like, I don't know how to get in a house. Like, I don't know enough criminals. Like, I don't know how to get in the house.
Had a chimney, call Santa Claus, you know?
Call Santa?
Call Santa if it had a chimney.
Or a criminal?
Santa or a criminal. That's...
Criminal Santa?
Criminal Santa. Oh my gosh, there was a sketch on SNL that was...
Criminal Santa?
Well, it was Black Santa, but he was in court.
Was it this weekend?
No, it was this past holiday season.
Oh. Did...
No spoilers.
Who played... Did Keenan play?
Yeah.
Santa? Yeah. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the only choice, but a good choice still.
Right. Well, yeah, now they have the other guy, the guy that called a Unky Che on that one.
Oh, that's right.
You know what? That one's hilarious. I can't remember his name, but that's good. That Weekend Update character is really funny.
But you're dressed nice.
Thanks. You know,
what's up?
I felt like putting on some lipstick.
Yeah. And
actually, I've been like, it's strange to wear. I feel like red lipstick is a statement, but I just wanted to wear it. And then I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I should wipe it off. It's different.
Sometimes I don't understand why there's other colors. Like, why does someone not wear red lips? Like,
I mean,
when I think of lipstick, I think of red lipstick.
Usually red. But, you know, it's funny. It's like, I feel a little silly when wearing lipstick, but I have lipsticks that I've had for, you know, ages now, and I just don't wear them.
What colors are they?
I mean, mostly red, but, you know, red or a mauve or some shade of red or pink. Yeah. I had some. I don't know. I mean, they're probably old. I probably have to throw them out, but I had like one or two that were like a dark plum or like a deep navy. Those are fun too.
Why is that? Why do we put red on? Why is lipstick? Because even in stage theater,
yeah,
it's taught to put red lipstick on, like it's rouge. No, mm-hmm. But I'm like, but men don't put lipstick on. But why do we associate it on stage? Like, no, yeah, you should put a little red there. Like, why? My lips aren't red.
Well, I don't remember guys putting red on, but I do remember them having some sort of, yeah, stage makeup. Kind of probably with the stage, it's going to help your features pop, you know, I think.
Yeah.
You're in a, you know, you have a big auditorium. I think that'll help. But I like the, like for theater and stuff, I like kind of the mask of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like.
There's a ritual.
Yeah, exactly. To it.
I do like putting on.
I like that. And so I kind of wish I would just walk around just regular life, just wearing red lipstick like it was nothing. But almost nobody I see on a regular basis wears lipstick. So it feels very.
Really?
People are so like, you know, like natural, which I'm generally more natural to in my makeup.
I think that's just in our area.
Seattle, for sure. Like, I don't see very many people where I'm going that are wearing lipstick. Like, even if you go out to dinner or something. A majority of people are not wearing lipstick, or if they are, they're wearing the more neutral shades. Like, I will put on like a more neutral, but when I put on red, it feels like I have to forget sometimes. Unless if it's just like a bold day, but I kind of like every day to be like,
every day should be a bold day.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about my experience with makeup recently?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I've started using this like CPAP machine, right?
Yeah,
right? So I woke up the other day and my face was just red, like on my cheeks. And I'm not sure if it's because I hadn't washed, like I'd forgotten to clean it that day, I think.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, is this from like, I get on camera. I can't like
my
have
money maker.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I have an audition. Thank you for reminding
exciting.
Me.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, this is horrible. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I need to go. I need to start taking care of my skin. And so I went to
Ulta.
Sephora. Went to Sephora. So like, okay, I got to do this and I got to be able to cover it and stuff, you know, or I got to be able to do this. So they gave me. So I need a whole facial treatment. So he got me set up with the cleaner moisturizer, right? But then also like, oh, this stuff is a serum that will help the irritation on it. But it's like, oh, but he's like, well, this might be good at night, like during the day though. Like it's not going to cover it. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you use this stuff, this is a little, it's green. Concealer. It's a little color correction.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And so we just tried it on there and it looked after a minute, like it was like going away. I was like, yeah. Oh, well, that's.
I don't know if I've ever actually used that. Maybe I've had it put on me for gigs, you know?
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. I just.
Yeah. But it also had a serum stuff in it that was supposed to help with the red also. Okay. So yeah. It was like a 2-in-1. But then like, and I was like, well, you know, and sometimes I'm doing these light, I record things. And the other day I had these like dark circles. He's like, oh yeah, the tired eyes. Yeah. Like, oh, here's the stuff that you can, it takes like 6 weeks until it really works, but you got to put this on each time. I'm like, okay.
Operation H.
And then like, hey, so, you know, sometimes I'm just doing stuff and I'm like, I feel like I need a little, maybe, I don't know, to cover.
Yeah.
Like, then I do a little. She got a little makeup. And so he brought me over to the makeup person and she hooked me up with like a concealer. That's my shade.
Oh,
And they were like, oh, you could just put that on until it heals, right? You could just be the little concealer and some, she matched the powder, helped me decide which powder was. So like, and I've been doing a lot of recording stuff lately. So in the every morning, I've been doing the wash and moisturizing and stuff. And then I've been putting my makeup on in the morning. Cause I'm like, well, I'm going to record later, so I might as well just do this now. And so like I'm putting it on and got my brush, got my own stuff. I got all my own stuff because I don't want anyone touching my brushes.
Well, yeah, shouldn't really share the brushes.
I don't. So, but I was like, dang, that made me look a little younger. It's cutting down on the wrinkle. But also, my skin is so nice, right? Like,
yeah, you feel
like, it feels so soft. Yeah. And I will say, like, I have had a couple pimples pop up that were like, they look like babies, like little baby pimples, but they're not like, sometimes when I'll get like a irritation with like a hair, it'll, you know, form something. I haven't had any of those, but these like, they're almost like cute, but I was like, I feel like whenever I try to treat my skin with hand wash and stuff, I start breaking out like with, from being nice to my skin. Like my skin does not want me to be nice.
Well, your skin doesn't like whatever you're putting on it.
This is all natural.
Yeah.
This has always been the case for me. Like whenever I try to wash my face, I feel like it just like I'll get little pimples or something. Like my face. I was told at one point that when you start cleaning your like face, that will happen.
Okay. Because I was like, there's gotta be some explanation.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounded true.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
They were convincing when they told me, so yeah, I believed it.
I mean,
but my skin is so, Samantha, I just wish you could feel like through Zoom. I wish you could touch my face.
I'm going to come over. We're going to record a live session because I have to touch.
But you don't like
your face.
You've never touched my face before, though, so you wouldn't know the comparison.
I haven't touched your face.
But I think generally I probably have a soft feeling face compared to most 52-year-olds men.
Yeah.
And also it's changed my shaving.
Touching people's faces and just say, you don't understand. This is a test.
With
my podcast recording partner.
Yeah.
And I have to touch his face and tell him the level of softness it is, whether or not those products are working, if they should give him a refund.
Yeah. It's changed my beard too.
But if you keep touching into.
Yeah, well, I'm talking to you, so I'm like,
I know, but like after you do your treatment, then if you keep touching your face more because it feels so like luscious to you, it will make you break out more though too, just from like touching.
So I should stop grabbing myself like this? Like,
well, I mean, keep do it to your heart's content, you know, but you might. Well, have a little friend there then.
Like I use a face scrub that I already had, but like I think like washing my face every day, because then when I shaved, like it was super, super soft.
Nice.
And then when it came back, it feels like it's coming out just like even and like consistent, and like the hairs are just like standing up, like ready to be shaved, sir. Like, and I'm like, oh, it like, I feel like my hairs normally just kind of come out wild everywhere, like a little bit over here, a little bit there. And now this is coming out very even. And I think it's because I'm exfoliating daily. You know, taking care of it.
Now
I'm a gentleman.
Yeah.
And shit.
Yeah. Exactly. A gentleman and excrement. Right.
What?
A gentleman and excrement.
Excrement?
Isn't that how a gentleman would say it?
Oh yeah. Okay. I was like, are you using the right word?
Yeah. I was going to almost say, but you know, it's interesting because I almost had, well, not the opposite, but because I have been homesick for like, I mean,
I
was home. We were home for over a week. I've had this sinus thing is on the tail end. So fortunately, like I am back. This is part of why I probably wanted to wear the red lipstick, because it was like, I was just, it's like, hooray, out and about again. But what is my point? My point is, because I was sick, I was home, I wasn't going anywhere, I wasn't putting on like anything on my face, and I wasn't washing my face then at night. My face started to hurt, and I did get a little bit of a breakout because I wasn't doing my normal like end of the night face wash thing.
Were you not doing it? You were not washing your face because you weren't putting makeup on?
I wash it with water. I wasn't like, I don't normally. Well, if I'm feeling sick anyway, I'm not like doing the most, right? I'm not.
But, like, but don't you need the, I thought you needed to wash it just because of oils.
Well, you
that
should,
your face produces. No,
I
mean,
yeah, you probably should. But I have never, I've never made a habit, I think, of washing my face unless if I have on some sort of makeup, other than like with cold water. Mm. I have fairly dry combination, dry skin. I don't know. But the thing is, I do typically wear a base layer of makeup every day because it's a BB cream. So it's just like tinted to look like the color of my skin. But, and the reason why I love it is from Tarte Cosmetics.
Is that same for BB, big BB black cream?
Totally. I don't know what the heck it stands for. Anyway, but I like it because, yeah, it has really good ingredients. And also, it's a 30 SPF sunscreen. So I put it on every day because that's my sunscreen every day. Oh. Right. And it, yeah, and it's not like cakey and whatever. So it's like a little moisturizer and sunscreen. And
this is a whole new world for me. It's fascinating.
And I don't know very much about makeup at all. And I have more than I need, which is, I still don't have a lot, especially compared to like the average American woman, but I have this awesome eyeshadow palette. I still haven't opened it. I got it at like 70% off whatever sale. It's like an amazing deal. And I'm like, I will be using this, but when am I going to put all these interesting shades of eyeshadow on? I used to, when I was working at this one place where I was working at Teatro Zanzani on wait staff.
Oh, years ago. Really?
Yeah, yeah. And it was so fun because I miss like the community part of like, you all go in there, you get changed. Yeah, like you wear your fishnets to work every day and your little corset or whatever, and you squat and it was hard work, but it was really fun. And I was in incredible shape, but I didn't think about it as exercise. I'm mm-hmm. just like working.
Yeah.
But it was great exercise anyway, but it was so fun sitting back with all the other ladies and just chit chatting and putting on all this makeup. And I would have, you know, I wasn't even the best at doing my makeup, but I would be using my eyeshadow palette then, you know, but now it's there. Maybe I'll just start showing up on our podcast like that. And sure. I won't be self-conscious at all. Of course I will not be.
You know, it's funny. I remember years ago, there was a comic, like, I remember telling Manny about this. Like, there was a comic that we knew that I was like, is he on the down low? Because I think he's wearing makeup. Like, every time I see him, I think he's a little makeup on. And I was like, you know, because he also talks a lot about ladies, being with ladies, like, always seems to bring it up.
Like, overcompensating.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
But that's why he's with them, because he needs to steal their makeup.
Well, and so then I'm like, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just getting to where he was. And be like, no, no, just a little makeup, just clean it up a little bit, a little blending.
yeah.
Be fine. Little, who's going to know better? No one useful, just because I take care of my skin, not because I'm wearing anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he just took it. Maybe it's just really shiny because he took care of his skin.
Maybe. I want to know who this is now. Curious.
I did this show last night. I did a show, stepping into comedy again a bit. It was called like A Few Nerds and a Green Screen. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we did stand up comedy, like nerdy comedy. And then we did the part where it was like improv with a green screen. Uh huh. It's interesting because stand-up comedians are not improvers by nature.
Usually, yeah.
Right? Like, if you haven't been trained, if you haven't done theater classes and whatnot, there's elements that you don't realize, like how important to say yes and like... there's a natural instinct about stand-up is to say, I feel like, no, that's wrong, right? Like, it's a funny, it's funny to negate it, but you can't go anywhere with it.
Right.
And so you have to sacrifice the easy laugh or the instinctual laugh for the long game of the scene to go. Yeah. It's like, we got places to go. And there's just so, it made me like, also, I'd never improvised with these people before. Yeah. And I think a lot of people may not realize how much improvers practice with each other.
Yeah.
Like it's a little challenging when you have not done it with them at all and don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
Or like you can't get a sense of, wait, are they on the same boat with this? Is this, or to know to like, I don't know. I remember being taught to start with like a, start a scene with an action, just get in there and start doing whatever. So that to make the initial offer, and people just stand like, is nobody going to make an offer? Okay, I guess I'm going to make the offer because this is awkward.
Yeah.
And it just got me thinking about the skills that we have that you forget you have until you're put in circumstances to use them.
Yeah.
Like as artists, particularly in the performing arts, like we were trained in stuff and we know. Have you ever felt that your stand-up comedy would mess up your improv?
No. No. If anything, it would have made me, it makes me better at improv. But I think if I had done it in the reverse fashion, it could have been harder.
Now, why? What is it about improv do you think makes stand-up harder?
Oh, no. I mean, I think that why would I think it would be? Wait, let me wrap my mind around what I said and what you're feeling like. Okay, so I did improv first and then stand up. So I wouldn't think that stand up would negatively impact my improv. But if I did,
you know what's funny? I don't even think of I don't even think that I did improv before stand up, even though I did.
Probably always doing a little bit of stand up comedy. Always like, right? Just without knowing it was stand-up comedy.
Yes. Now I'm suddenly realizing. Huh. Why did I, in my head, I was did stand-up first, but I absolutely didn't. It was theater, and I was doing improv games in there, and I didn't know it was improv. Yeah. I just thought it was a theater game.
Well.
You have to work so collaboratively in theater.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think it could be harder, not necessarily, but it could be. And especially because a lot of the improv skills were already theater skills.
Yeah.
The stand-up skills, for me, that was both of those, but it's more my directorial brain at work, that aspect.
Doing stand-up?
I'd say doing stand-up, it's more like director's mindset for me. And that was actually one of the things that I could struggle with in improv. I could do improv, but it would be better behoove me to be with a team and really like get my, okay, what am I trying to say? Oftentimes when I would be doing improv with the various teams I was in, if they were new improvisers, like no problem, I would jump out there. But if they weren't new improvisers and they were very confident improvisers and they would jump out there, I would stand back because I'd be looking to see where I was needed. I wouldn't jump in as much. So I became quite, when I then did the directing program at Second City, I felt like it was easier for me to be a director because I would see it that way and jump in versus when I was just in the conservatory with it, then I would become the so-called straight man character. Because I would just be waiting to see where I was needed. But it's not like I couldn't jump out there and do something big and ridiculous. It's just that there were so many other people on my team who were already strong at that.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm definitely like very much like water with that. Like I'll go where I'm needed in the improv world. And
when you direct improv, that's something I've never, I've coached it, but I've never directed like a show.
Well, oh
what,
yeah.
What do you do when you direct improv?
This is awesome timing. Okay, two things. Sorry, I keep looking at my phone, but I do not know what happened in the last 2 days. My phone number must have entered some ridiculous registry because I've been getting so much more spam texts, spam phone calls, but I didn't enter my number into any new website or anything. So I don't get what happened. And I just look
at it. Are they about anything in particular? Do you answer them?
No, I don't.
Because that would help you figure it out.
But then they might be more inclined to call me, right?
They're calling you anyway.
I guess. Okay, anyway, I'm off topic. But also, Silas, this is like, I was thinking, actually, the other day, I was having my, not like a total effort moment, like nothing was bad, but it was just like, I've been thinking about getting this improv class going for ages. I've been wanting to get it set up in like XYZ certain, like a certain way. And part of me just was like, F it, let me just offer one free class on Zoom, like just one hour class, see who wants to show up and just get it going. Cause I freaking miss doing it. And I think it'd be fun. And just to kind of get it started and have that. So anyway, the timing of this conversation couldn't be better. Cause I was just thinking of that yesterday. And then today we're talking about it. So I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe I ought to do that. Back to your question, improv.
What does a director do?
As a director, so when I have directed improv in the past, it was directing improv, using improv and directing so that then you would make a sketch show out of it, or so that then I would make some sort of play out of it. So I wasn't directing it for just now we're putting on an improv show in the past.
But it wasn't like an improv play, like they have those,
yeah,
they have those like Jet City or whatever, we'll do those, or they did, I'm not sure if they're still around, like they'd have a show like the Shakespeare Show, and
yeah,
it's gonna be Shakespearean, but then people have to pick these different things that they go for and it changes the plot sort of, but there's sort of still sort of like a formula, they understand that they have to kind of how to achieve goals or something, and I never got what the director was doing. So were you giving notes to improvers to do stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I would give them notes, just like acting notes, really, you know, or just thinking. It's kind of two ways, because actually for one of them we did have a play, but we also did, you know, little, you know, the classic, some of the classic games that we did at the show. So it would just be kind of the yes anding, like, okay, great, like you could stay on that topic more, let's go deeper in that, or I see what you're going there, like if you make it crisper next time, like that transition faster, or, you know, just physical stuff, you know, blocking suggestions or acting technique stuff or whatever.
Was it more coaching then?
Oh yeah, I mean, guess I would say it would be,
I mean, we don't call them, I think we don't call them coaches in that realm. We probably call it a director, was the technique more of a coach kind of than the classically, okay, like, so this is my, how you envision the scene going and driving it towards there. Is it more just like giving notes on to be a better improver?
I mean, I think there could be some basic blocking, but it depends on the improv game, and it depends, like, are you doing a herald, are you doing a herald, or are you doing short form games? And then if you are doing short form games, you could be doing a little bit of direction, like if you're playing Party Quirks or something, you know, I think that's a game most people probably know, you could do a little direction of like, this is the basic layout of the stage. But and also with that, I think it depends on somebody's directing style. And two, like who the people are that I would be working with, because some people do need you to be a little bit more hands-on. Other people just kind of need you to be a little bit like the bumpers in a bowling alley or something. You know what I mean? For how much directing you actually need to give them.
Interesting. So I've wondered, I haven't seen what a director in stand-up does, because like these stand-up specials will sometimes have a director, and I don't know if that's just that's the person calling which camera to use. Yeah. I don't know if they give any notes to the comedian.
Yeah.
Or I think that's fascinating, because I think some, because like one man shows can have a director, and a lot of stand up is, I mean, it's sort of a one man show, but
right. Yeah.
And is it always written by some? Look, Kevin Hart has writers and develop stuff together, and it's not. Sometimes I don't know the difference of one stand up and one man show exits. Right. Sometimes I'm like, oh, if it has a meaning to it, it's a one man show. If it's random thoughts, it's stand up.
Typically, I feel like when I've seen one, I would like to see more one person shows again. But typically when I see them, there is more theatricality to it. I feel like for most of the stand-up that I've seen, it's just a person talking on stage. And occasionally, maybe they'll have like a photo or something behind them, you know, but they're not really having that same sort of theatricality that you might see in a one-person show. Although, yeah, not every one-person show has to fall in that. I am curious, though, back to the director thing for a second. Yeah. In that, I have had, I don't know about you, but I've had so many different types of directors that some directors would kind of just let me do my own thing, you know? Or, like, one of my favorites that I wish I had this on tape and I don't. But it was really fun because I could do the thing and then I would get to come back and look at the camera and I could give myself notes and I'd say, oh, I like that, but I think I should tweak this or blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, yeah, good. Okay. Go for it. And like, do it again. Be like, that felt good. Yeah, that felt good. So
I'm torn between thinking that if someone's not giving notes, like if they're not reining in, like how do you not, you're not giving me a direction to go in. So you're not really directing if you're just letting me do what I want. However, I've also learned that the silent director can be really great where you just kind of nudge them and trust the script and get them to trust the script and just, and try to get them to be truthful. Like I don't block out my scenes. I have actors block it. I might have ideas and visions, but like I see if I can get there. If I can't get there, I'm like, oh, well, couldn't get there. Didn't happen. It's all right. Sometimes I'm like, this has to happen.
Right.
There's a whole thing behind this. So we got to make it a.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I guess I'm thinking about coaching, the better coach you are, the better soccer coach you are, the more you sit your butt down and don't say anything and let them just play. And you only intervene when you need to or to offer something. That's compliments go a lot further than a criticism about something. Yeah. Like if you can just compliment them, that's the best. And so maybe that's for directing is what is.
Right.
Should be.
I mean, I feel like it's a kind of like parenting, right? In that. You could have the same director and every kid's going to need something a little bit different. So you're going to treat them a little bit, you know, what you give them, it's going to be a little bit different based off of what they need. And also what do they need in any given moment? It might change, you know? Yeah. So
I always felt my job as a director, both in film and stage, is really just, my number one thing was to make sure that we were all playing in the same world.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That the performances are all seem to be in the same style, unless it's on purpose. Like, I don't remember Sip and Style when we did that.
Yeah.
Remember, I had to talk to like, oh, I liked what you were doing, but I was like, I need you to pull it in a little bit.
I mean, who knows what I was doing? And
no, but here's the thing. Yours is fine, but I knew the other actors were new to acting. they're not going to, they will have a hard time bringing it to that level of commitment while still being good at acting, because new actors can't, they can't, I don't even know what the word, like, you know, they can be exaggerated, but it has nothing behind it.
I get what you're saying.
Right. I don't, like, I feel like I've lost all my theater vocabulary because I've been gone from it too long. So I'm like, there's a word that I'm trying to come up with that I remember, but I know when the level of commitment is not, the commitment of the physicality or whatever, the action is not being supported emotionally.
Yeah.
Or by the level of acting. That would have been Barangi and the Mike and the, who else was in it? Sierra. She's a child.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything's name.
She's not like, there. Well, I mean, they were in the cast. It was great. Yeah. Sippin' Style. And even myself, I'm not as comfortable. I'm more comfortable in a grounded, very grounded drama. I've never been able to go wild. Even in my stand-up, I can't.
So much now. I miss all this stuff so much now. It's great, but it's like, I miss it all so much. And, I forget how much I miss it sometimes, but it's okay. It's a career or something you could practice a long time.
What's really, so I did this, you saw the video I sent out, the Agent of Nerds video, right?
That was fun.
So for anybody watching, I did this video where I was showing a house tour, but I was dancing. A little subtle dancing. Like, and I was like, I was telling Gretchen about it. I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. Like, I just want to do like little movements, like a little, not much, just a little bit. And actually, I really felt like I was doing a lot bigger than it showed on camera because I didn't have somebody with me to like point out how big I'm doing. So I was really subtle. And somebody told me the other day, they go, hey, you got down. Hey, I'm right there with you with the two move dances. you got the dad step and they're like, yeah, I don't know any dance either. And I said, well, here's my little secret with you is. I was a ballroom dance instructor in college. I can dance. I'm just a good actor. Like, it was funny. And it was funny thinking of that. Like, I don't care if people think that I don't know how to dance.
Yeah.
Because that was what I was going for in the video. I'm not going to do a salsa in that video, you know, like, but it was kind of the commitment level of, I was like, I just had this, I don't know why, I just had this vision. I was like, I don't want big dancing. I just want very subtle back and forth. I think that'll be funny. I don't know why. I can't tell you why, but it struck me as funny. Right. So I'm going to try it. And this might be really stupid. I should have known it was working based on how much I thought this might be too stupid. Because oftentimes when I'm like, I think this might be stupid and nobody's going to like it, that seems to garner the better reactions than when I'm really confident about something and I'm like, I nailed this. This is hilarious. And then it's like,
chirp, I know, that's chirp, such a bummer chirp. When you like put so much work into stuff. Like, I think my most viewed, I will say like the most favorable video I put out will be the one that gets me paid. Right. That will be the most favorable one. Or somebody says, you've changed my life for the better, you know, some sort of great thing like that.
Yeah.
But just in terms of viewed, my most viewed ones, I think, are the ones that I've done the absolute least amount of work on. And I posted one yesterday, which, because of the whole posting challenge and you reminding me, just post whatever, Samantha, just do it. So I posted one and I figured maybe it might get seen just because it was about the, you know, watching the parade at home when I'm sick. So it's like two things going around of like being sick. A lot of Seattleites are sick. And then also the parade. So many people were celebrating. So it's like, yeah, maybe it's not huge, you know, but for my number, since I haven't been doing it for too long, I was like, oh, not bad. It was like, I think like about 1,000 views.
Nice.
A bunch
on Instagram.
I think I got like 1,100 on Instagram and like 800 on TikTok and a couple of likes, a couple of saves. And I was like,
that's great.
That made me feel good. But, you know, I didn't want to post. Part of me didn't want to post because I'm like, I look ugly. I was like, I can't believe I'm letting people see me like this. Like, I look bad. But I was like, well, I said I was sick. And this is real. But here's the thing. when you were saying with your dancing and whatever, you don't care if they thought you were bad because that's what, you know, you were going for, pretending like you didn't know how to dance better.
Yeah.
Like, I could look horrible on screen if I'm acting. I won't care. I'll be like, this is the character. This is what I'm going for.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to show up to my face in the grocery store looking a hot mess like that. No. But would I do it on a jumbo screen, huge theater for everybody to come in? Yeah, if that's the character, give me my Oscar. Like, I look good looking that bad. Thank you.
Oh, I will say, I told Gretchen I was really proud of one moment in adult was when I did the break dancing thing. Because I was like, I said, honey, that actually was pretty good, though. Yeah, that was like, I've been working on that for like 40 years. I've been doing that one move. And I'm like, oh, it actually showed up pretty good, like right there. And I got it right with the music I want. Like, all right. Just a little hint
that I might be intentional. Especially with your hoodie, it makes it look even more. I mean, you weren't in your hoodie then, but I mean, like right now,
maybe I should. It does make me feel a little more alive doing it, like putting a camera up, even though I didn't like doing it because I was by myself. And so, like, little things, I was like, oh, like I didn't notice my shirt was untucked and I didn't realize it. And I'm like, ah, crap. I'm not redoing this. That's where my laziness takes over my art. And I would ask Gretchen, should I go redo this?
In a way, it almost makes it better in a way.
I tried to tell myself that.
Yeah.
But like, I have more fun when someone's there to like riff off of a little bit. Like, I was going to also try to do some jokes when I was there, but I have an impossible time by myself just doing jokes. And so, like, if I had someone there to try to entertain, to kind of make a laugh and break, I might have. But the person who was going to help me got sick that day, so they couldn't help. So I was going solo, but I was like, you know what? I've already booked the house. I'm going to do this. I have to do it.
You know what could be fun?
I don't know.
Okay. What if we did like a Black and a Half dueling home tour? So we both tour the same home and we each take our own spin and then we get somebody to vote. And then hopefully they buy from one of us, you know? So it's like a win-win-win. And we could, it would be fun to do it too.
I'm going to be listing a condo. You can come do a house tour on it. And that way, if someone uses you to buy, I'm listing anyway, so it doesn't matter. So yeah. I get it either way.
I think that's fine. I haven't had anybody contact me yet from any of my videos I've posted yet asking to buy a home. So,
Time. Huh? Yeah, nobody's calling. Nobody has said, we need that nerd guy dancing.
Well, that's what I mean. If we did like a dueling home tour thing, I don't think it would be like, they took my business, you know? Or maybe.
No.
But can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I did a video I think you saw. Thank you for liking it. The Big Spender parody kind of thing I did. Yeah. I wish. Oh, no, you talk. You were laughing. Go ahead.
What? No, it was funny. Gretchen said, like, wait. But should you say that to a buyer? Or wouldn't the big spender? Who's the big spender for? And I was like, you're reading too much into this, Gretchen. Am I only going to serve nerds? Like, no, it's funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did mess up. Well, I didn't mess up the lyric, but I messed with the lyric at the end to say buy or sell a house from me just because it was. Yeah. But yes, it was just supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
I was so into the song.
He was clearly the buyer in it. Obviously, he was the buyer.
Was that a lender?
Actually.
Okay, what I predicted. So I was like, I don't know who.
Watching it back, I was like, okay, I would have really loved if I was able to get some kind of music underneath. That would have like elevated it, right? So I have to figure out how to do that without getting a copyright issue or whatever, because I just sang it a cappella. But what happened was...
Oh, you just need... Yeah, okay, I'll tell you how to fix that. We'll
talk about that later. Quick, cool, thanks. What happened was I was driving to the open house. And I was just humming whatever random stuff. And that song popped into my head. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I did a video singing that song in this house? I thought about it on the way to the open house and then thought about how I would do it. And then asked him when he showed up. I was like, hey, I have a weird idea. do you think you would be okay if I blah, blah, blah?
I was wondering that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, he was kind enough to go along with it. So I filmed it really quickly before the open house. And then I think just I had a teeny bit at the end, but all he saw me filming was him walking in. And of course, when I sat him down, like the parts he was in, that was all he saw, and me clicking the pen. He didn't see anything else. And so it would have been funny to see his reaction when he watched it. And then on top of it, I'm doing the thing. I don't know if you do this, but I was like half blocking, since I just thought about it like then, right? I was half blocking to him, half muttering to myself about what I think it should be, and half like, you know, and saying like some theater, like a theater guy. And I'm thinking, I probably sound crazy right now. And what is he thinking? You know, but then it comes together, and he was a good sport, and it was fun. And it was what you're talking about, feeling more alive. Like, I felt so much like myself that day. It was a open house. Tons of people came. It was fun talking to people, but it was also so good to like dip my foot back in that theater world and edit and just feel alive. So alive.
I've had questions if I should do stand, like sometimes I see people do little videos where they're just like make a joke. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I just want to, there's a joke I've been telling. It's like a one liner.
Yeah.
And I wondered, I was like, if I just said this in a TikTok,
just do it.
That was it.
Yeah. Just do it. Oh, you guys, if you want to see the video, Samantha Sells Seattle, that, go to Instagram, watch it.
Yeah.
Or Samantha. So,
yeah. I've just recently started telling, I'll just tell this joke right here because it's just one line, but I've been saying my safe word is colonizer because that pretty much ends it right there. That's, or nothing happens after you call her a colonizer.
Well, you know, and that also works because you're the black one, because I feel like if I right. that to a white boyfriend, then he would be like planting my flag. No, he wouldn't. But that was it. Planting my flag. Yeah.
It's funny because I don't do stand up as much. And so like it's taken longer to get to a, I've done this joke a few times, you know, and I've finally told it so many times that I'm like, it's getting some decent laughs now.
Yeah.
Interaction. I have to look at what I'm half improv with stuff now that my tags are improvised.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I say after? I said something after the line. That really worked.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good safe word. Though for you, sorry I made that face.
Colonizer?
I mean, you know what it is? It's, I've just been watching TikToks and, or I think it was an Instagram or Facebook reel somebody sent me just about colonizers and stuff. And so my mind went like, and colonizers care? Like, do you think
that's true?
Like, you think they would stop? But I could see, obviously, in your relationship.
In a bedroom, they would hope they'd stop if you call them a colonizer. Yeah.
Well, in a loving relationship, yes. They, yeah. They would
care. Not in a loving, in a non-loving. Huh.
Hey,
or unless that gets them going. Like, hey, yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. So
diggity.
I was thinking out of context of,
we really need, if we could colonize Mars, that would take the sting out of the word, right? What? Why are you making a face?
I'm making lots of faces. It's more evident because of the lipstick. I think
you don't want to colonize Mars? Are you against colonizing Mars?
Why?
Because we need another planet?
Here's what I think. I think every planet has been ruined by humans that have destroyed it with all of their overconsumption. And now Earth is the only one that's left.
Oh, I thought it was like, what are you?
Every planet has become dead from human overconsumption. And now Earth is the only one that's
so left. Like, we already were on Mars.
Already.
This is like, where returning.
Do you think Mars bar came from? Nobody on Earth is going to think of having that kind of delicious treat. I don't know if I've ever had a Mars bar. No, I want one.
That's not a bad concept, actually.
Yeah, right? Actually,
I like the idea that we
I was going to write that into a movie, so
better get going. You got a week.
I know.
Crap. Before this is up.
Hey, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. I got a couple. They're real bad ideas. No, that's actually a good idea. But I have a couple of ideas of other things I'd like to trademark and sell. Great at someplace like Spencer's Gift or a gag store. Gag gift, not a gag store, like a joke store, not a safe word.
Not a safe word store.
not a store for colonizers, gentlemen.
Gotta make it. Yeah, just make it. Gotta make it.
I have to figure out
how mold it.
It's a terrible idea, but it's brilliant.
That's like Spencer Gifts. That should be their tagline.
This is an idea. The two ideas that I have would be created by 12-year-old boys.
So they involve six and sevens?
Oh, they don't. Hilarious. I'm surprised that at the parade they didn't chant 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 for the 12s. There were like a bunch of teenagers and kids.
Is 1-2 a thing too?
It's not, but I feel like it should be after the Super Bowl.
My son, he's the one who noticed that there was a player with number 67. He goes, "Dad, it's 6-7, 6-7. It's fabulous.
She notices that stuff too, which is so funny to me. Like how?
It's infected daycare.
6-7, Mom, 6-7, 6-7. What? Some of the things she comes out with. Oh my goodness.
You're like, I don't let you anywhere. How did you see that?
Some of the things. So she saw something on, I wonder if it was Sheriff Labrador. Anybody watching or listening, that show is good. It's a cartoon for kids. It's a safety cartoon with these two cartoon police dogs.
Sheriff Labrador.
It's a
Sheriff Labrador. Sheriff. Okay.
There's two.
That makes a lot more sense than what I said.
Well, I think one is a Doberman Pinscher, actually. One's a Labrador, one's a Doberman Pinscher. And they have actually pretty good lessons for kids. And there might have been a bank robbery on one. I don't know. But what I do know is the other day, we passed the bank. And she says, "Mommy, where's the robber?" I was like, "What?" She's like, "Robber. Where's the police? Police are going to come. Where's the robber?" I was like, "Huh? Why is there no robber at the bank?" It wasn't that clear because she's little, but I sussed it out. You're looking up Sheriff Labrador. Yeah.
I'm trying to find. Yeah.
Here's the best thing, that most hilarious thing that she said lately. You might have also seen this post is I heard her the other day. And when we're sick at home, and she just, playing near me, but in the other, like in the kitchen, but it's like open so I can see her. Right. But I'm like laying on the couch sick. And she's just like, "Wow, Mommy, Barbie's bubble butt is awesome." I was like, "What?" So I get up. "Look, Mommy, look, Barbie's bubble butt is awesome." And I look and I was like, "Oh, bubble bath, honey. Bubble bath." It sounds like she's saying bubble butt. And yeah. I did get a video recording of her so that I can show her when she's older.
Hey, we're out of time here. I'm seeing the time. Gotta wrap it up. Good seeing you. Glad we were away for a week on vacation, but now we're back.
Yeah. What a vacation.
Now we're black. Back in black.
You look in the mirror and think of yourself as being half colonizer.
Black and half.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half.